Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we are joined by Jason Kirk as we review GoBots Issue 3, because our comic book stores haven't gotten any Transformers comics in weeks. We have news on Transformers Cyberverse Season 2, and we go over quite a bit of Transformers trading card game card reveals. Today is Friday, February 15th, 2019, and this is episode 116 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that just can't catch all the new Transformers trading cards. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transformers team of one, Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hi, how you doing? Let's talk Transformers.
Let's welcome our special guest, Jason Kirk, back again.
Man, I didn't think you guys were ever going to get to me. Jeez. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, Jason, thanks for coming on and helping us out this week. You know, our slackers, Yoshi and Daryl, didn't show up, so.
Daryl's literally slacking.
Well, you know me. I am always happy to come out and whore myself on a podcast, so I'm always available for that.
And we also, As we will highlight in our Donatreon segment, you are a returning Donatreon. So welcome back. Thank you for returning.
Oh, no problem. And it's amazing because 2 days ago on the main show, I wasn't at the $5 level to receive the free thing this week. But amazingly, in the last 2 days, I'm at the $5 level now. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Magic.
It really is. The internet was not involved at all, I swear.
It's like you might have known something was coming ahead of time.
Yeah.
Look, if I'm going to be the asshole who pays to come on the show, I'm going to do it right.
Well, thank you, Jason. Your contribution is greatly appreciated, and your increased contribution is also appreciated.
I'm just happy to be supporting you guys again, so yeah.
And we also need to thank our another new Patreon, N.A. Olson. Thank you, N.A. Olson, for joining us. We hope you are also taking advantage of coming into the Discord chat and listening and hanging out with us. All right. So by coincidence, yeah, we are having a new physical item is going out to all our $5 Donatreons. So if you are a $5 Donatreon, please make sure we have your updated address information so we can send that out to you. In Patreon, it's easy to check the address there, but if you are one of our PayPal contributors, be sure to send us a note with your address so we know how to get stuff out to you, because something good is coming very soon.
Yep. And if you don't know how to do it on Patreon, we have a link in the show notes that will take you to their help page that shows you how.
Cool.
It is easy, but it's not obvious.
All right. And if you are not a Transmissions Donatreon, we still love you. But if you do want to help out the podcast, you can go to our shop at transmissionspodcast.com/shop and buy some merch from TeePublic. And we get a little bit of a kickback that includes some Transmissions swag, some shirts, or just anything from TeePublic. If you go through our link, we get the affiliate kickback. Please help us. All right, let's start off and get into some Transformers comics news. All right, so we've got some more cover art from the new Transformers series starting in March. But this cover is actually coming a little bit further down the line because it's actually from issue 8 of Transformers. So I think things are plotted out a little bit far in advance here.
Well, it's 2 a month, so it's month 4.
No, that's true. Yeah, this is from fan artist turned recent professional Transformers artist Anna Malkova, and this art features Cyclonus. So we're going to have Cyclonus in the new continuity now. That's cool. I wonder if he'll be close to his IDW incarnation or something completely different. Looking forward to that. I think It's interesting because I think that the for at least for me, More Than Meets the Eye / Lost Light Cyclonus is now my Cyclonus. He has replaced G1 Cyclonus for me. I hope they take some of his personality traits into the new series. Also, we have a listing on Amazon for the first trade paperback of, or not trade paperback, hardcover of Transformers. It's Volume 1, The World in Your Eyes, and it's collecting 12 issues of the new Transformers comic. And this is going to be released in October 22nd, 2019, for $50. So if you're going to wait for the trade, you just have about 8 months to wait to get the first 12 issues. But we will be covering it as they come out. You might want to skip our comic reviews for the next few months if you're skipping spoilers.
Maybe we should combine all our comic reviews and put them out as a hardcover podcast.
I don't know if we can afford the printing costs.
Yeah, I guess I'd just be putting them on a CD.
Pretty much. That would be the hard copy.
But yeah, so that's it seems like they have a little bit of faith in the new series that they've already got things. I mean, they're doing two a month. They've already planned the first, the first 12 issues. So hopefully this thing has legs. Next up, this comes from a Japanese manga news. We've got an official Mazinger Z versus Transformers crossover comic for March of 2019. And this comes from a TFW 2005 story that was written by listener of the show and Donatrion, Gabe. So
Gabe,
thanks for writing up this article on TFW 2005. If you're not familiar with I think I'm butchering the pronunciation, but Mazinger Z is one of the super robot anime shows, one of the original super robot anime shows from Japan. It was brought over to the U.S. as Transor Z in the 80s, if you're familiar with that. So this is the original Japanese property being crossed over with Transformers. One thing that's interesting, so the artists on the book, it mentions there's going to be 6 artists working on this book. It's Yu Kinutani, Hayato Sakamoto, who you might remember from More Than Meets the Eye. Jason was happy.
I love Sakamoto.
Eiji Yoshioka, who does some of the E-Hobby comics and Transformers illustrator. Kazumi Hoshi, Hidetsugu Yoshioka, who's done packaging art from Transformers Master Force Victory and Zone. E-Hobby and Henke. Naoto Tsushima, who's also done Henke Transformers packaging art and also IDW Transformers comics covers. And then the normal release cover will be done by the original Mazinger Z creator, Go Nagai. So, very yeah.
Cool. Round of applause for pronouncing all those names. Woo!
Yep,
I've been doing the Japanese Duolingo. So,
oh, I keep meaning to do that. You're ahead of me, Charles.
I'm doing okay there. It's a slow process.
It helps with all your business trips to Germany, right?
yeah, not at all, not even a little bit. Yeah, so this is going to be 1,980 yen, so about $20. It'll be released on March 28th with 104 pages.
All in Japanese.
Yes. So if you could read Japanese, enjoy. Or I guess wait for for some fine folks on TFW 2005 to translate it. I don't know if anyone will tackle transliterating this. That seems like a tall order. But
I wonder if it sells really well if IDW would bring it over and like translate it as like one of their, they have those like special lines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, just so it's not really mass released, but if you want it, you could get it.
Yeah, they do a lot of Marvel books like that too. IDW does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder if this is the type of thing that we might, if we get a translation. I know that Andy and Mikey over at Moonbase 2 like to talk about the Legends comics. So, hey, Mikey, you like to leave voicemails on this show. Are you guys going to talk about this?
Let us know, Mikey.
I'm sure they will.
I hope so.
All right, well, that's the comics news, so let's move on to our comic review.
We are getting close to the reboot of Transformers, and coincidentally, we are running out of books to review from our queue. This week, we are reviewing GoBots number 3, which came out, I believe, last week. And this is written, drawn, and lettered by Tom Scioli. The editor is David Hitchcock, and the publisher is Greg Goldstein. We have three covers here. Cover one is just a big image of the space shuttle GoBot Space C, drawn by Tom Scioli. Cover B has a Turbo and Screwhead fighting, and that is done by Dash Shaw. And the retailer incentive has Psy-Kill living up to his name, and it is by Ulysses Farinas. So, Jason, we'll start with you. Which one of these three do you like?
Oh, boy. Okay. Gonna try not to go too bad here. So none of the three of them really do that much for me. I get the third one just is weird and I don't like it. The second one, the art style is okay, but I guess I'd take Scioli's cover just because if you're going to get a Scioli book, then it's one way to tell it's a Scioli, you know, get his cover. So I would have to go with the first one.
All right. Charles, how about you?
I am going to go for that retailer incentive by Ulysses Farinas just because it looks completely batshit insane.
So. You're insane.
I think that's looks really, really weird, and I'm into it. I don't know why, but I'm into it.
Yeah, I think that's the one I like, too. It's kind of like Rick and Morty meets the GoBots.
Yeah. Oh, man, I wouldn't give it that much credit.
Well, it's just the people kind of made me think Rick and Morty at first, but
I guess
it is just like, you know, we always talk about like when the image obscures part of the logo, and this we have blood spattering all in front of the logo. It's it's really kind of amazing. So that is the covers. Let's get into the summary. Spacey wakes up his astronauts from cryosleep as he's discovered a metallic planet with life signs during their deep space mission. The astronauts are excited to explore an unknown planet and take a rover out. They're surprised to run across a giant insect GoBots, and they ask Spacey for help, and he transforms and saves the humans just as they're about to fall off the side of the planet. We see a view of the planet from the side, and it's two halves connected by a ball in the middle. Back to the fight, Spacey gets the humans inside of him, and he prepares to fight when the insect GoBots run away from something. We see what as a giant Zod approaches. Spacey begins to thank him for the help, and then he's attacked by the creature. Before he can swallow Spacey, though, Zod is attacked by a number of GoBots, led by Leader One. Once Zod is handled, the humans are surprised to find that their saviors speak English. Spacey is led into the detention area of their command center while they figure out what to do with him, and Spacey lets the humans into a vent so they can find a way out. In his throne room, Leader One is meeting with delegates from the Trade Federation as the humans have worked their way in above that room and they're spying on them. They complain, the Trade Federation complains that Zod has been a constant problem and prevents travel on the highways. If Leader One doesn't take care of him, then whoever does is going to take his place. Returning to the cell, the humans are going to try and get Spacey out when he's released and taken to interrogation. Leader One asks where Spacey is from and he says Earth. Enraged at this forbidden word being spoken, Leader One strikes Spacey and sentences him to reprogramming the next morning. Overnight, Leader One has a vision where he's led by a blue version of himself named Eno. Eno leads him across Gobotron and into the heart of the planet to the only weapon that can defeat Zod, the Laser Lance. Inside his cell, Spacey is falling into depression when the humans show up again to try to free him. They remember the color code to open the lock, and they free their friend. He's promptly caught again, but saved by Leader One. Clearly affected by his vision, he cancels the punishment. Elsewhere, it's feeding time for Zod as Psy-Kill tosses a GoBot for the monster to eat. Leader One leads his GoBots on the command center while the humans inside Spacey discuss their situation. How do these GoBots learn English? And was it from Earth television broadcasts? Later, as everyone sleeps, Leader One walks around the ramparts of the command center. Is shocked, he sees Psy-Kill's renegades, including Zod, and he sounds the alarms. As the renegades approach, he shuts the command center, slicing Twin Spin in half. The Renegades are surprised that they're not as defenseless as they thought, and they retreat for the moment as the command center blasts off. But Psykill has a surprise as well, and the Renegades board their ship Thruster and chase the Guardians. The Renegades catch up, and Thruster transforms and grabs the smaller command center. Spacey's human crew are fed up with his odd behavior and eject in their lunar lander. They're determined to go back to Earth, but he lets them know that they were in hibernation for longer than they think, and every human they have known is probably dead. The Guardians plan to escape by jumping to hyperspace, but they need some time to calculate the jump. To buy that time, Leader One leads everyone that can fly into space to attack the Renegades. They're successful, and despite being hit, Spacey and the others make it back on board. The Guardians make the jump and trick Psykill into thinking they've gone into deep space when they've gone just to the other side of the planet. Here they prepare to go inside the core of the planet to find the mythical heart of Gobatron. As the command center lands on the rocky surface of the planet, Spacey and his humans dash off, but they're surprised when the ground is soft and it gives way beneath them, sends them down to a lower level of the planet where they encounter some ancient Gobots, Turbo and Scooter. Turbo lets them know that they've been on the run from Leader One for years, and Leader One and his forces are responsible for basically making Scooter into a childlike state. And when Turbo detects that there are humans inside Spacey, he orders them to come out. As they explain what happened, Turbo realizes that Spacey hasn't told them the whole truth, and he reveals to them that Gobatron is actually Earth. So that is the story. This series took a very strange turn with this issue. I mean, when it started, I didn't know exactly what was going on until probably halfway through. I enjoyed it, though. For what it is, I've been enjoying the series. Jason, I don't know how much you've been reading, but we gave you the review copies for the first two issues. What are your opinions of this book? I know you're not a big fan of Skeely in general, but what do you think?
Well, I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. It's probably actually going to be in pretty quick because Scioli's art and his writing have never really connected with me. What little bit I was able to get through of G.I. Joe versus Transformers. And also this, because I did read the first issue when it first came out, so I obviously needed to catch up. The second issue, you guys went over last week, so I had a good idea what that was about as well when I went into it. I had trouble even finishing this one. It was rough. It's just not a style. Mm-hmm. Art-wise or writing-wise that I can connect with. So, mm-hmm. You know, even though I did read through it, a lot of what you said is a lot of me kind of connecting dots for the first time. Oh. And unfortunately, I really can't, I can't speak much more to it. It's just, it doesn't connect with me. I don't get much out of it. So, I know you two enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. And I know people like it, but I can't connect to it. It's especially all these panels. It's too many panels. I can't do it.
He does like his panels.
He really does. And I remember you guys saying that last week.
But,
and yeah, it's just, it's too much and I can't connect. So unfortunately, I kind of have to bow out of this one because it's there. I know some people like it, but I don't.
All right. Well, I mean, that's fair. It's a very dividing style.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, you know. Well, Charles, what do you think? I mean, yeah, as I mentioned, it takes a very unexpected time jump.
Yeah, this was definitely it was a hard left, and I appreciate like that Tom Scioli is not playing it safe with a 5-issue crossover. No. He's like you want to do five you want to do a big Gobot story in 5 issues. Let's just go super crazy. And I appreciated that hard left turn. I mean, it is a little bit sci-fi tropey. I mean, it's self-referential with the astronauts talking about, yeah, thanks for not killing us in cryo sleep like every sci-fi movie. That's mm-hmm. and having the reveal. I mean, halfway through the book, you know what's coming, but having the reveal at Earth. I mean, it's very cool. Of course, I shed a small tear for AJ and Matt Hunter because mm-hmm. I don't think we'll see them again, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like the turning Leader One on his head. Like at the end of last issue, you know, there's a question as to what Leader One is going to do. And I guess this issue shows that Leader One wasn't such a good guy after all. And he went mad with power. And
yeah,
Psykill's not much better, but he's still renegade. And the new character Spacey is interesting. He's kind of a blank slate. You don't really see his internal motivations other than he wants to protect his human allies, but then he lies to them. Yeah. So they don't trust him anymore. So,
I mean, it's obvious he lies to them to protect them.
Yeah.
Or what he thinks is protecting them.
Right. Yeah, so I'm really now I have no idea what's happening next issue. I don't know where it's going from here, but this was a very interesting change in the status quo for this issue, and I really enjoyed it.
I think my biggest complaint goes back to what I was saying last week. This series really should have been like a 12 issue. Series.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean with all of the stuff that he's trying to do and he's trying to cram in here, it would have been so much better fleshed out with the room of 12 issues to tell the story.
Mm.
Yeah, well, a little bit I was able to garner, like, I absolutely agree with you guys on that one. It's going way too fast.
Mm.
Yeah, but he was probably like, you got 5 issues to tell your story, and he's like, oh, but I have such an amazing epic story I want to tell. So, you know, I really like this whole reinvention of GoBots, like from the ground up. I like a lot of the ideas that he's putting out there. You know, it is not the safe GoBots that you get from the cartoon.
He's really going for the toy designs here, because I do vaguely remember this, like that base that with the, you know, with the kind of cringe-inducing. Yeah,
but that
face.
Was in the show too.
Oh, I had that when I was young. I had that.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I think what I was reading in the wiki, those like those things, like the detention center and everything, all of those were in the toy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very kind of odd toy that you would have, like a disintegration room or whatever.
I don't remember Zod. That's.
Oh no! Zod was there too. He's in the cartoon in the credits and everything.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I had a neighbor that had that toy. I had the blue Leader One. That was like my one big GoBot I had.
And I thought it was funny that they had the detention center control panel was a Simon.
Yeah,
that was funny. And
oh yeah, and the Laser Lance was a thing. It was basically a little plastic stick that came with the Zod, and that's what you would use to poke the thing to turn it on and off.
Oh, okay.
So you can kind of see where that's going.
Was Simon also a Tonka like electronic game, or
was it?
Probably?
I can't remember. Yeah, I bet it was. Either that or Parker Brothers, which Hasbro owns.
Yeah, yeah. Scioli's got some deep cuts here.
Yeah, I mean, and then there were so many sci-fi references here, like the hyperspace thing. That was just Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole, like, we need time to calculate the coordinates.
So, like, the power suits show up next issue, right? There's no way they go without doing power suits.
I'm sure with the, yeah, they're going to need to do something like that.
Yeah, that's my contribution to this discussion. I am calling power suits for the next issue.
They're also teasing Rock Lords in the cover.
Yeah, Rock Lord. Yeah.
So.
And Simon was Milton Bradley.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is now owned by Hasbro.
Yeah. But
anyway, it's a very interesting series. I think I remember listening to the Moonbase 2 review of the last issue, and they weren't like, they're more on Jason's side of this argument. But for what it is, I'm enjoying it greatly. It's a good way to pass the time until we get the new series.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be it for the comic review.
All right. Let's get into some media news.
We have more information from the Hasbro financial call that we mentioned in the toy show this week. On the media side, Brian Goldner, the CEO of Hasbro, said that the Bumblebee movie made the Transformers franchise re-engage with families. and they're very happy with the critical success. And it was very profitable for Hasbro as well. So that's all good news. Home release will be available 2019 first quarter, and it's already up for pre-order. I actually have it pre-ordered myself. Future Transformers live-action movies are in development. They actually mention films, plural. And they are working closely with Jim Giannopoulos and his team at Paramount for the new movies. So no other details there, but it seems like Bumblebee did its job, and where the movies were basically on their deathbed, they are now going to have another life. And hopefully Bumblebee is actually a reboot and we can, build off of it. So
please,
Jason, what were your thoughts on Bumblebee? I don't think we've talked to you since then.
No, you haven't. I've seen most of the movie, because we have. So
kid,
right. We did not go to the theater. I'm going to just admit it. We did watch a downloaded copy, because I was very much afraid that my son would not be engaged the whole time. And boy, did that end up being the case. He got excited when Optimus Prime was on the screen. And that's about it. We took him the Spider-Verse, and he just sat and watched and didn't move an inch the whole time. So I had a feeling Bumblebee wasn't going to do that, and I was right. So I've seen the movie, mostly. It's fine. I don't know. It's definitely better than what we've been getting. I think a lot of, like, when I see very profitable for Hasbro, I mean, it's profitable, because the movie didn't do so great in its first weekend. It was either going to be a bomb or it was going to have sustained, profits through the weekends. And it never really dropped too far. Like, it never saw the normal 60 or 70% drop between weekends, but it still was outpaced easily by Aquaman. And
oh yeah. Well, it opened in a weekend where they were like, we need to get this out. Yeah. We'll just put it out. And then boom, Aquaman and Spider-Verse and Mary Poppins all like ganged up on it.
Yeah. And despite coming out a week earlier, Spider-Verse was beating it pretty much every weekend, but the first two, Spider-Verse was actually doing better than it as well. And I'm not trying to trash it. I'm just saying that it did well compared to how it started. If it had a 70% drop, it would have been a total bomb. So thankfully it did not do that. But they have to build off of that at this point, I think. And I think we're going to see, I'm glad we're getting that and not what we had been seeing. But in the end,
Because you were a fan of the Bay movies.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind them. Because your first Declassified was, I was on it defending it with some other fine people as well. And again, and I hate to say turn off your brain type movie, but you go into some movies knowing what it is. But this definitely, I don't think you have to do that for Bumblebee. I think Bumblebee was, in fact, better in pretty much every regard. And I look forward to seeing these characters, if we really do keep those D1 based designs and they don't try to mess with it too much, I'll be interested to see what comes up. But I will be buying it on Blu-ray. I have all the other films on Blu-ray. If I did not buy this one on Blu-ray, I would be a terrible person. So we will. pay money for this movie. That's the only reason we watched it, a downloaded copy, because we are going to spend money on it. But I was never going to go see it 3 or 4 times in the theater. I can't do that. I have a small child. So,
yeah, exactly. All right, well, we do have some more Bumblebee news here next. Viacom's financial call reveals that Bumblebee earned more than $450 million worldwide. So that was great. And this says that the film reset the Transformers franchise and is solidly profitable. So I don't know if that is like reset in the financial sense or what, but it most likely is in this context.
I think so, yeah.
$450 million on, I think it probably was in the $100 million, $150 million range budget. Viacom seems to be happy with it. Hasbro's happy with it. So that's all great news.
Well, I mean, they had it coming out at the end of December. I don't think they expected much from it. So I think it really beat their expectations. Yeah.
So, and it had a brand new director. So, yeah. Also, in the live action movies, there's going to be an auction on February 28th. This is an internet auction. You can register. We have a link here. It's profilesinhistory.com. And there's also a link here to a PDF with all the stuff that are up for auction. It's largely closed, but there's a number of props and stuff from, it's all the movies up to Bumblebee. I don't think there's any Bumblebee stuff in here. I flipped through probably 60% of the catalog. There's some things in there that I think I would like to get, but you know, wouldn't be able to afford. Everything's starting off at like $100, but I'm sure it's going to jack up in price. But there's like an Apple II that was in as a prop in one of the scenes. That would be neat to get. You can get like Cade Yeager's alien sword gun. I don't know if you guys have looked at the items at all. It's just your typical movie auction with like they're trying to get rid of the props and you know make a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. As not being a fan of the live action movie, I don't think there's much that I'm interested in getting here, but I guess it's cool for folks who want a piece of the movie.
Some people are just interested in movie props.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The last thing I have here in the movie section is a Bumblebee and the Transformers 6 movie collection on Blu-ray. If you are not like Jason and don't have all the other ones on Blu-ray, you can just buy everything in one shot if you want to. We have a link here to the Amazon listing if you want to subject yourself to the other movies. We have some information here on Cyberverse Season 2. It is confirmed for quarter four of this year, roughly the same period that season one came out. It is, again, on Cartoon Network. It's likely that Boulder Media is still going to be doing it. I enjoyed season one. It was a lot better than I was expecting. Jason, did you get to see Cyberverse at all?
I was watching through YouTube for, I think, through like the first, oh, I think 8 or 9 episodes. Whichever one is the one where McAdam shows up and and I don't know it. I know people think it. I actually liked R.I.D. better than most people, so I wasn't as low on the cartoons as other people were. And to me, like everyone was so excited with that episode because Soundwave played music and danced. I was like, they spent so long not getting anywhere in the story. Yeah, they spent so long not getting anywhere in the story that I was done. And again, tried to watch it with my son. He didn't care. the one time they showed Grimlock early on, he didn't transform, so he didn't turn into a dinosaur. So my son was like, whatever. So I'm glad people like it. I'm glad it's continuing because I think the more media we have, the better, especially if it's not Machinima media. But it definitely has.
You're not going to be getting Machinima.
No, exactly. But it never connected with me. They took way too long to get anywhere with the story. And I'm so over Bumblebee can't talk that I want it gone.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully we're going to be hearing more at Toy Fair this weekend, like more details.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
We have a ton of news for the trading card game. I'm not going to get into all of it because there was just so much. We're going to have all the links to these in the show notes. But what I do want to highlight is they announced Triple Changers with art by Marcelo Mater. These are using the same type of cards that they use for the combiners, where you have a big robot mode on one side, and then the other side, it'll flip, where you have like the two vehicle modes. And I thought that's a very ingenious way of bringing in Triple Changers. So Marcelo says that he worked on all the pencils for the Springer cards and the jet mode for Blitzwing. And then we also have, they finally have also announced Devastator. And this is doing what I was suspecting last week with the 6 cards. Each of the components of Devastator has their own card. And then they also have the Constructicon Enigma that goes with it. That's cool. And the art on the Devastator card looks really good. And there was one more I'm going to talk about here. I think it's the King Starscream. So it's just you get your Starscream, but he's got his crown. So I don't know. It's just another Marcelo Mater art.
This is reminding me why I never got into Magic the Gathering or any other collectible card game. Because
yeah.
I mean it's. These are all really cool, but it's just too much to collect.
Yeah, I had gotten the starter kit and a couple booster packs, and I realized it would be forever before I'd get to play them, and I really can't just sit around with $50 worth of stuff that I can't do anything with, so I just had to end up taking them back. And for the exact reason you're saying, Charles, otherwise it's just you're down the rabbit hole, and good luck coming out.
Exactly. But all of these are coming out in the Rise of the Combiners expansion, which comes out March 1st. And if you want to see all the other cards that were announced, look at our show notes. I've got links to pretty much everything I could find over the last week or so that was revealed. And it was a lot. So that is it for media news.
All right. Well, Jeremy, stick around because we've got convention news.
All right. Convention news. We have a lot of TFCon announcements. We will start off with Marty Eisenberg. He was the story editor on Beast Machines and Animated. He has been to BotCons before. I think it was BotCon 2011. But he will be taking part in Q&A panels and autograph sessions. From my recollection, he was a very nice man. Pretty sure I met him and got an autograph, but that 2011 was a long time ago. He's also written episodes for Transformers Prime and Rescue Bots, so that will be very cool. Next, we have voice actor David Sobolov, who was the voice of Depth Charge, and he was also the voice of Blitzwing in the Bumblebee movie. He's done a number of other voices in a number of series. You've probably seen a series with him doing a voice outside of Transformers.
He's Grodd in The Flash.
That's what I was trying to think of. He's Grodd in The Flash.
He was also Shockwave in Transformers Prime, I believe.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Which is on here on the card, which I didn't read. But this is his first TFCon, and he will be there Saturday taking part in autograph sessions. The TFCon website will have the full guest signing schedule before the event for the exact times. Make sure you check that. If you are wanting to get a particular voice actor, not all of them are going to be there the entire weekend. So make sure you check the schedule so you are not disappointed trying to show up and someone isn't there. Next, we have writer Margaret Scott is going to be there. She has written for Till All Are One, Windblade, Transformers Prime, the series and the comic, Rescue Bots, Batgirl. She is now working on Batgirl. Very awesome that she's going to be there. She will be taking part in Q&A panels and autograph sessions. So make sure to go and say hi. Charles has actually had a meal with her at BotCon.
I had drinks with her too, so that's cool.
Wow, jeez,
she's very cool.
And TFCon is really taking advantage of being in LA.
Yes.
Pretty much everyone associated with Transformers in LA is going to be there. Finally, we have John Bailey, who was the voice of Soundwave and Shockwave and Bumblebee. He was Optimus Prime and Combiner Wars. He is the his YouTube channel is like Prime Reviews or
Epic Voice Guy.
Oh, he is the Epic Voice Guy, but he has a Transformers like review channel where it's like Optimus Prime reviewing.
Oh, okay.
But he's probably better known as Epic Voice Guy doing the
Honest Trailers.
Honest Trailers, yeah. So he is the kind of epic voice behind Honest Trailers. And he will be there, it appears, all weekend. So that is awesome. And I think that is it for TFCon. TF Nation has a live improv night that they have announced. It is going to be on Saturday night. It is a special improv show starring the Improvicons. Is a group headed up by guest Peter Spellos, who was the voice of RID Skybite. Throughout the year, he hosts classes in London and Indianapolis. That's quite, I'm guessing it's not London, Ontario, but it's basically, he does acting and improv classes. It looks like they're going to do this Saturday night after the ClubCon event at TFCon or at TF Nation. I'm sure this is going to be hilarious and yet another reason why I hate that I'm not able to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the final news is TF Nation has posted a first time or attendee booking process guides. They have their YouTube videos. They have one for first time attendees and one for returning attendees. Because if you went last year, the process is a little more streamlined for you. I would definitely recommend you check these links. I believe registration is open now. I've seen many people saying that they are fully booked for TF Nation. So make sure you check that out. And I'm done.
Well, stay tuned for a feed. No, no, there's no feedback. all right. Thank you, Jeremy. You had an epic run on this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. This was all you. Great work.
Well, hey, you've done it before. You know, some of us around here have to do work.
Yeah. Not me.
No, and not Yoshi and Daryl either.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, this will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Again, thank you to Jason for joining us on this week's episodes. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, as always.
Like, thank you. I forgot on transmissions, but here on Transmissions Alt Mode, here is your chance to tell us where we can find you on the internet and pimp out any stuff that you've got going on.
Well, I'm not a busy person or anything, so let me tell you about my 18 podcasts. as far as Transformer stuff goes, you can find me Wednesdays you can find us live at tfradio.net for Radio Free Cybertron. That's Wednesdays at about 8:30. The stream starts around 8, and then 8:30 we do the show, or you can always find it in podcast form in your podcatcher of choice. And this week you will hear some familiar voices from this show, as it is Toy Fair on February 16th. So tune in Saturday, anytime from 12 to 5 Eastern Standard Time, and there will be the Toy Fair live stream. And hopefully we'll get some call-ins from, hopefully we'll hear from also from Anthony, who was a guest on the Toy Show this week for part of it. So hopefully we'll get to hear from him as well. So check out our live coverage there. I also do other podcasts. I do one called Wrestling on the Edge of Forever, and that is with my podcast co-host David. And that's one where I, as a Star Trek fan, give him an episode of Star Trek. He is a wrestling fan, gives me a wrestling match or show to watch. And then in the end, well, we have questions and we answer each other's questions, or try to, because sometimes it's not all that easy. You can also hear, we still do Povocacy, which you've heard. If you've heard me before, you know that's a show. It's more of our, just like our, you know, catch up show. We do like 20, maybe 30 minutes a week, and then we get into the main show. So we just do it as a separate thing because we had the feed, so we kept that as its own thing. And other than that, you can follow me on Twitter at Jason S. Kirk. And I think that covers I knew I was forgetting something. If you are a supporter of the Moonbase 2, I recently recorded a podcast with the great Andy and the great Mikey there. We talked about a certain anime that is very, very tangential to Transformers, if you will. So if you are a Patreon supporter, you should hear that show coming up shortly. So that's Moonbase 2. I recorded that this week, and I'm not sure when it'll be out, but I'm sure here in the next week or so, maybe a little more, that'll be out. So come listen to us talk about some anime on that as well.
Cool.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you, Jason, and thank you again for joining us. And I'm kicking myself because I forgot to refer to you as our noted podvocate. But
that's true. Man, Charles, like, we should probably just start both shows over. I think.
Well, it's Daryl's fault, because Daryl usually starts the docs, and that was left to me and Charles. And it's all Daryl's fault.
Yeah. Real life got in the way this weekend. So.
Yeah,
it happened.
All right. Well, thanks, Jason, for making this show a good one.
And, oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy, for being the awesome host of the show, as you always are. And
I can't be any other way. So.
And we'll see you next time, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Record it.
Got it.
Did it. Yay.
Woo!
All right, alt mode. I think we have no audience tonight. So
nope. it was a low audience to begin with. They heard I was on there like,
Walking
fuck
Dead
that.
Fans. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transformers team of one.
Let's talk Transformers and Transformers team, Charles.
What? You're the team.
No, but you said Transformers, not Transmission.
Oh. Ooh, okay.
It's cool.
Sorry. I can do it over again.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
And I'm out of coffee.